Romans chapter 15. I haven't even spoken yet. She's already commenting on it. Oh, well, so everybody's a critic. Romans chapter 14. We've been a long time in this book. 15. Verse 14. We've been a long time in the book of Romans. And now we're coming to the end of the book. And as I was looking at a commentary, they call this the epilogue, the end. And Paul is starting to wind up some of the things of why he wrote the book, and then he has some greetings, and he wants to tell the Romans what his plans are. So that's the rest of the book, so now we can go home. Why did Paul write Romans? Romans chapter 1 gives us one clue. In Romans chapter 1, in verse 9, he says, "For God, whom I serve in my spirit, in the preaching of the gospel of his Son, is my witness of how unceasingly I make mention of you always in my prayers, making requests if perhaps now at last by the will of God I may succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you in order that I may impart some spiritual gift to you, that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you while among you, each of us by the other's faith, both yours and mine. And I do not want you to be unaware that I have often planned to come to you and have been prevented thus far, in order that I might obtain some spiritual fruit among you also, even as among the rest of the Gentiles." Well, that was up front. That's what Paul had told the Romans up front, is why he wrote the epistle. He wanted to come and he wanted to visit Rome. But he'd been too busy. Paul had gone on 3 missionary journeys, and he had covered most of the Roman world in Asia Minor and in Greece, in northern Palestine, northern Israel, in Syria. And now he says he's on his way back to Jerusalem, and we know from the book of Acts that this is Paul's last time that he, you know, the last time he'll be able to be free to travel. He's going back to Jerusalem. He has a gift from those that were in the churches, the Gentile churches, for the saints in Jerusalem and in Judea. And as we know by the book of Acts, that he's going to be arrested and he's going to be imprisoned, and his freedom will be curtailed for the rest of his life. Although Paul will not have withered up and crawled in a corner and, you know, sort of ceased ministering, because we get most of the New Testament written during this time that Paul's in prison. So Paul is writing this book of Romans, and so now that he's got to the end of the book, he's saying in verse 14, "And concerning you, my brethren, I myself also am convinced that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able also to admonish one another. But I have written very boldly to you on some points, so as to remind you again, because of the grace that was given me by God, from God, to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles, ministering as a priest the gospel of God, that my offering of the Gentiles might become acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit." So Paul is writing the book of Romans, not because there's a problem at Rome, not because of anything that they've done, but he knows that they are a church that has been well established, and he's writing to remind them of certain things. When we look at the book of Romans, we see that it is a book of very deep doctrine. It's a book that deals with the gospel, that tells how everybody, Jew and Gentile, bond and free, are all under sin. And that the only way to get out from under that curse of sin is through faith and trust in Jesus Christ. He writes to the Jews. He writes to the Gentiles. He tells us as Gentiles that we are we are obligated to the Jews because we are grafted in, that we are brought in to the blessings because the Jews rejected the blessings. We have nowhere to boast. We have nowhere to be proud of the fact that the Jews rejected and therefore the Gentiles have been brought in. So Paul is writing this letter as a reminder to remind them of where they've been and where they're going. And I think that's good to be reminded. We are very forgetful people. As I read through the Bible, I'm convinced that human beings are the most forgetful of all God's creatures. How many times have you seen stories on the news where an animal, a pet, a dog has been lost for years and has found his way back home and has not forgotten who his family, has not forgotten where he belongs? Animals remember. Animals don't forget. My little foo-foo dog, 11 pounds of white fluff. I leave, I go away, I come back, she's as happy as can be to see me. My daughter's dog, she lives over in Illinois. Don't see her for months and months on end. Yet when we show up, it's like we were there yesterday. Doesn't forget. Happy as can be to see us. But we as human beings, we forget. So Paul is writing this to remind the Romans of certain things. And it's good to be reminded. I believe that's why God gave us the breaking of the bread. We're to be reminded. As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we do show forth the Lord's death. We proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. How often would we forget if we don't do it often? Some churches do it monthly, man, they must forget an awful lot. Some do it quarterly. Some do it yearly. Jesus says as often as you do it, not as seldom. So the more often we can do it, the more we're reminded of God's goodness to us. And that's what this book of Romans was a reminder to the Romans of all the goodness that God had bestowed upon them. As far as we know, the Roman church grew up spontaneously, quote unquote, spontaneously. I suspect that the Roman church began from people that came back to Rome from Pentecost, on that first Pentecost. That we had those thousands that were saved at Peter's preaching at Pentecost. That all the Jews had come into Jerusalem during that time. And Peter had proclaimed the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and many were saved. And during that time, Jews from all over the Roman world were in Jerusalem. And when they went back home, they carried the gospel with them. And I believe the Roman church began from those people. Can't prove it, but that's what I believe. So the church at Rome had Jewish beginnings, but I'm sure there was a lot of Gentiles that had come into the church. So it was a mixed bag from what we read that Paul wrote. There were both Jews and Gentiles there. And it was a church that was a strong church, apparently. Paul says, then concerning you, my brethren, I myself am also convinced. That word convinced there is to be fully persuaded. And in the Greek, it's in the perfect tense, which means it happened in the past and the results continue. So Paul was convinced in the past and that the results of that being convinced has continued and always will continue. So Paul says, I'm convinced, I'm fully persuaded that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge. The word full there is to fill up like a glass. And that is in the perfect tense too. They were at one time full in their continued state of being full. Sometimes you have a vessel that's full and then it ceases to be full. But they were full and they were continued to be full of goodness. And they were full and they were continually full of knowledge. The word knowledge there is to know by experience. So they had knowledge of God's goodness and God's love because of they experienced it. And they were full of goodness And Paul says, and they were able to admonish one another. They were able to warn one another. They were able to take care of themselves. If they were able to admonish one another, that means there's something to admonish, is implied. That means that there was something somebody was doing that was wrong, and they had to correct them. They had to warn them. And so that the church at Rome was a strong, self-sufficient church. And in chapter 1, Paul says that he wanted to come to Rome in order to impart a spiritual gift to them, and that he might be encouraged by them as well as they encourage him. Paul didn't put himself above the church at Rome. He didn't say, I'm going to come in like gangbusters and I'm going to tell you some things. No, he didn't do that. He says, I want to come to Rome in order that we both might encourage each other and that he might impart some spiritual gifts to them. And I believe that's part of his apostolic gifts, that he might go there and maybe establish elders as an apostle in order that he might establish the church and put the imprint of the apostles on that and make it a quote unquote legitimate church in the eyes of the other churches. All the churches that Paul established along the way, he went back and put established elders in them. He put leadership in charge. Who was in charge of the church at Rome? No one had officially established the leadership of the church at Rome. And I believe Paul wanted to do that. But they were a strong church. And they were able to take care of their own problems. They were able to admonish one another. And then Paul says the reason why he wrote what he did, he says, but I have written very boldly, or some say with greater confidence, to you on some points, so as to remind you again because of the grace that was given to me from God. Paul had a mission, and his mission was he was an apostle to the Gentiles. He had his job was to establish the church among the Gentiles. And that's what he had done for 20 years. He was out there and he went through Asia Minor, Greece, all over, establishing Gentile churches. Sort of ironic that a man who was brought up as a Pharisee of the strictest sect of the Jews would be sent to the Gentiles. A man that would, by his teaching, by his bringing up, would abhor association with Gentiles. God appointed him to go out and minister to Gentiles. But that's what Paul did. He says he's a minister, verse 16, to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles. The word minister there is where we get the word liturgy. In the New Testament, most of the time, the word minister is the word for slave, doulos. But here, it's the word liturgy, which has religious connotations. He was a minister. He was a religious servant of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. And then he qualifies that by saying, ministering, the same word, to minister in the temple as a servant. Ministering in the New American Standard says ministering as a priest. That's how they translate that word. Minister as a priest. The gospel of God. So here he was, he saw himself as a priest. And what was his job as a priest? What was his sacrifice? What did he offer up to God as a priest? He offered the Gentiles. That was his sacrifice. That was his offering. That my offering of the Gentiles might become acceptable. Might become acceptable. Paul was out ministering in every place he went. When he proclaimed the gospel to the Gentiles, he was looking at himself as a priest, and the Gentiles were his offering to God. What a sacred mission that Paul had. Paul had a sacred mission. We think of, well, Paul had a job to do. No, Paul had a ministry. And the ministry was to offer the Gentiles as an offering. And because that the Gentiles were an offering to God, they were acceptable and sanctified by the Holy Spirit. They were set apart. They were made holy. They were acceptable. They were well received. There were many during that time that went out, and they might have been true believers, and they may not have been true believers, They went out saying that the Gentiles needed to do certain things in order to be saved. We call them Judaizers. They had to put themselves under the law of Moses in order to be saved. I don't believe they had gotten to Rome yet. And Paul says, you right now are an acceptable and sanctified offering to God. Just as you are. Nothing else. You look at yourselves as sanctified and acceptable to God. We are. Why? Through the blood of Jesus Christ. So the church at Rome was well received by God, and they were sanctified by the Holy Spirit. That's why Paul wrote this book of Romans, to remind them of who they are. And that if anybody comes in that would say otherwise, that they would be reminded that they didn't have to do anything more to be acceptable. Now, like the Galatians, where people were saying, oh, you got to be circumcised, you Gentiles. You got to follow the law of Moses. Nope. Not the church at Rome. And he goes on to say, therefore, in Christ Jesus, I have found reason for boasting in things pertaining to God. So here we have Paul now is changing the tact. He's talking about his ministry to why he wrote the book. And now he's going to talk about his ministry. He's going to talk about himself a little bit. He says, therefore, in Christ Jesus, I have found reason for boasting in things pertaining to God, for I will not presume to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me, resulting in the obedience of the Gentiles by word and deed, in power of signs and wonders, in the power of the Spirit, so that from Jerusalem and round about as far as Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. So here Paul talks about his ministry. And it's interesting, though. He mentions a place called Illyricum. Who knows where Illyricum is? Ah, ha, 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 you must have been there. You know, yeah, that's where he's from. He's from that area. That's where he's from. It's right across from Italy, north of Macedonia. North of Macedonia. We don't read of Paul ever getting up there. We don't ever read of Paul ever getting up to Illyricum, but Paul says apparently he did. Luke doesn't mention him going there. But he must have gotten there, in his travels, because he says this, he got there from Jerusalem to Illyricum. That's the whole of that area. Right across the sea is Italy, and that's where Paul wanted to go. So he says, as far as I've preached, all around that area, I've fully preached, completely proclaimed the gospel of Christ. And Paul says he's not going to boast about anything except what Christ has done through him. Notice he doesn't say, well, this is what I've done. Paul says, doesn't say, well, this is the things I've accomplished. The way he words it is that he says, look at what you've accomplished as Gentiles. That is the stamp of approval of his ministry. It was not what he did, but what God had accomplished through him in the Gentiles, resulting in their obedience in word and deed. Paul says, I look at you as Gentiles, and you're obeying everything. You obey the word, and you do it. You believe it, and you do it. And therefore, God approves it. And that's the stamp of my ministry. It's you. It's not me. It's not me. That's not what Paul did. It's what Christ did through Paul. And the results of that were the Gentiles' obedience. It's an interesting perspective. Interesting perspective. And the results were by the power of signs and wonders. The word power there is the Greek word dunamis, where we get the word dynamo or dynamite. I like dynamo better. If you've heard me preach, you've heard me say dynamo is better. When you think of dynamite, you know, you have the power of dynamite. You know, that's an explosive power. You know, you light a stick of dynamite and you throw it and boom, and it's gone. The power is gone. But you have a dynamo where we get our electricity from, and it goes on and on and on and on and on, and the power just keeps flowing. And I believe that's a better illustration of the power of God. It's like a dynamo. It produces power and it keeps producing it, and we get the results of that. the power of signs, of miracles, and wonders. The word wonder there is the word for omen. An omen is something that happens that points you to God. Signs and wonders, and the power, and the dunamis of the Spirit is accomplished through the Holy Spirit. We get our power to do things through the Holy Spirit. And the result of that is that Paul, from Jerusalem to Illyricum, he has fully preached, he has completely preached, he has done it thoroughly, he has thoroughly preached the gospel of Christ. The gospel was proclaimed throughout the whole world, as far as Jerusalem to Illyricum, through the apostle Paul. So here we have the reason for Paul's ministry, what Paul has done. He is offering up to God, the Gentiles, as an offering. And he wants to make sure that the Roman church is part of that. So he wanted to come there and establish them and have part of that ministry. And then he says later on, I don't want to take David's thunder, but he wanted to go to Spain. He wanted to continue on and go all the way over as far as Spain, which had been to the uttermost part of the Roman Empire. And then he gives the reason for why he's worked the way he's worked. In verse 20, "And thus I aspired to preach the gospel, to evangelize, were it not where Christ already was named, that I might not build upon another man's foundation." So that was Paul's motivation. That was Paul's tactic. He wanted to go and he wanted to be truly a pioneer. Paul was not a pastor, although he did pastor. Paul was a teacher, he was a preacher, he was an evangelist. He was a church planter. He wanted to go out and he wanted to evangelize. He wanted to preach the gospel, evangelize. Not where Christ is already named. He wanted to do it fresh. Now that takes somebody with a gift. Not everybody can go to a place that has no witness and go in and establish a witness, establish believers where there isn't any. That takes a special gift. Not everybody is cut from that cloth. That's a tough row to hoe. To go in where there's no church established, no Christian witness, to go in and to establish and get a work going. That's tough. Not everybody's cut out to do that. I remember when I was in Bible college, every day we had chapel. And I don't know who the guy was, and I don't know with what mission organization he was with, but he was a missionary to Quebec. And he talked about how the Lord led him to Quebec. And when he spoke at the chapel service at school, the thing that impressed me was how discouraged he was. Because he had been working there for like 10 years and he had zero converts after 10 years. Zero converts. Talk about a discouraged person. I don't know if he was cut out to be that type of evangelist, but I heard that he soon gave up that work because of zero converts after 10 years. It's tough. It's tough. Then you have people like Jabe that go down to Mississippi and want to evangelize down there. Now, talk about tough. I've lived down south. They're religious. Yep. What church do you go to? Oh, yeah, I'm a Baptist, you know. I'm a Pentecostal. I go to the First Baptist Church, and I've been going there all my life. You work with the guy. No fruit. They're religious, but are they believers? I don't think so. A lot of them. So it's a tough road to hoe if you want to do pioneer work. You need a special gift. You need a special way with people. And that was Paul's gift, that he wanted to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, to build upon another man's foundation. And then he gives the reason why. But now, if you've listened to me, you know there's two words in Greek for but. This is the strong, but on the other hand, it is written, And he quotes Isaiah, and this is from the Septuagint, so it might not be what the Masoretic text or what the, your Old Testament quote would actually be. But they who had no news of him shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. That was Paul's reasoning. So that they who have not heard, who have had not the news, can hear and see, and they have not heard can understand. The word news there is the spoken word. They who have not heard the spoken word, heard the announcement, heard the good news, of him shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. He wanted to make sure that they heard the news and that they understood it. That was his life's verse, as we could put it that way. That was his motivation for ministry. And then he tells them why he hadn't come sooner. For this reason, I have often been hindered from coming to you. And my Bible has a semicolon there. So we're stopping in the middle of a sentence. And Brother Dave will continue that sentence next week, Lord willing. The word hindered there is to cut off, is to get in the way of. Have you ever had someone who you're trying to go somewhere and they just keep getting in front of you? Road rage! You know, going down the road and the car pulls over in front of you, and then you pull over there and they pull over there and you pull over here and they pull over there and they hinder you. Road rage! No, not really. But that's just like it is. Just what it is. They put obstacles in your path. And God had put obstacles in Paul's path so he couldn't go to Rome. And Paul said, hopes that he'll get there. His plans are for him to get there. And he does get there, but not the way he thought. So when you read the book of Romans, look at it as a reminder. Think of the church at Rome as a church that was full of goodness and full of knowledge. They knew things. Just think, if Paul was writing the book of Romans to remind them of what they knew, just think of what they knew. Romans has deep doctrine in it. Romans is a deep book. We've spent many, many months, I don't know if we spent a year on this book yet, going through, trying to understand a little bit about what Paul has to say. And yet, the Roman church was being reminded. Are we doing all that we know to do as believers? If I know one thing about the assemblies, I know that we have good teaching. We have good teaching in the assemblies. But are we putting into practice that which we know? If I point my finger at you, I got three pointing back at me. Do we as an assembly, are we putting into practice that which we know of this book? Or are we just getting head knowledge? Be not many teachers, for you shall incur the greater judgment. We're going to be held accountable for what we know and have not put into practice. So we sit here week after week listening to good preaching. I hope it's good preaching. Year after year, but are we putting it into practice? Is it changing our lives? Is it making a difference? Father God, we thank you for your love for us, Lord. We thank you that we could be reminded of certain things, Lord. And we just pray, Lord, that as we've studied this book of Romans, and as Paul said to the Romans, that he was writing these things to remind them, that we would be reminded, Lord, of the things that we hear and the things we read in your word. Help us to be doers of the word and not just hearers only. We pray, Lord, that as we think about your word, as we meditate upon it, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would apply it to the places that we need to change in order to better serve you and to better honor and glorify you. We thank you, Lord, for this assembly and the witness that it is in this neighborhood. We pray that as the word goes forth every Friday through the Enoch's Club, Lord, that we pray that your Holy Spirit would use it in the lives of the children to bring them to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. We thank you, Lord, for the meal, the food, and the fellowship that's following, Lord. We just commit that time into your care. For we pray this all in Christ's name. Amen.